This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Amen. Good morning. Welcome. It's good to have you here. And I think I might say in a three-in-one church service, because it's usually we have got, on a Sunday, we've got three church services. One 8:30, one 10:30, and then one at 6 o'clock. So over the Easter weekend, we said we will just combine all of that. So that means I've got about 2 hours to preach. Say amen, Gilly. So that's our three-in-one. So yeah, as I just prayed now, I just felt that we should, with our other churches, we've got a mission team from Cape Town in South Africa, from Pastor Debia, and they are currently in Sri Lanka. And they were supposed to team divided into four groups, and they was this morning supposed to preach in four different churches there. And then early morning, the news came in on a pastor's group that, you know, in some hotels and some of, I think, three different churches, there were bombs and explosions. So obviously the concern goes out for the people there. And but praise God, then we heard from the first team, and you know, they also gave word that the other three teams are okay, they are safe. So we just thank God for that. And yeah, it's sad but true in reality that at times like this, we know the enemy hates it. You know, I'm so thankful. I did nothing. I mean, probably 120, 150 people in church here. And we are all here, I believe, to worship God and to bring glory to His name and to lift our hands. But we also know that the enemy hates it. When we come together and we fellowship, and we're going to end this morning with communion, and we're going to worship together. And I believe that's the important part, that we as the church, and I want to say a big welcome to all of you. How many people are here just visiting from some other church? Can I just see? It's awesome. Thank you, guys. It's great to have you here with us. And I believe that the Father's heart is just like overflowing, you know. Many times a mom or a granddad or a grandmom or someone will be happy when all the children and the grandchildren are at home and we can all fellowship together. But there's also something special and precious when we can all come together, that we can all come and just worship together and bring glory to God's name and to serve Him and worship Him. So I believe this is a special time of the year for the church. And that's probably why you are here this morning. And how can we say thank you, God? How can we value of what Jesus did on the cross for us? But also this morning, I want to share a little bit. And we all know it's Easter. I don't know how many of you have seen the Easter Bunny. I've seen the Easter Bunny once there in the Kalahari, but it was really a frightening sight. It was about almost a 6-foot Easter bunny with a huge pink tail, and it was, we were camping there at a lodge, and the Easter bunny, a life-size one, brought past eierkies and stuff to the children. And I said to kids, look away, that thing's not real. But nevertheless, it's an important time for the church. It's a precious time, and where we just really talk about the message of the cross and about Jesus. And this morning, everything in me just want to say, Jesus is Lord. Amen. Jesus is Lord. And that's what we're going to worship at the end. And I believe God always just want to bring our hearts back. Usually in the week, we are busy. And fortunately, it's holiday time now. And most schools, I think, has closed. So usually things are a bit slower. But our minds and our lives are busy with a lot of stuff. But it's always a place where we can just come back and say, Jesus, you are Lord. Not just because Jesus needs to hear it, but because we need to say it. That we need to come to a place of saying, Lord Jesus, you are Lord of my life. Lord of my marriage. Lord of my home. By the way, you're going to wait a long time for that handsome guy. I don't know where he is. But I don't know my wife, but nevertheless. So maybe it's in the second service. I think I was referring. No, Mark, you're a good looking guy as well. But yes, amen, Steffi. Yeah, let's continue with the sermon. I want to read for us this morning from John chapter 11, verse 21 to verse 27. I did add it a little bit later. I can't remember if it's going to be on the slides right now. If you've got a Bible, you can follow with me. And it's about Jesus and Martha and the death of Lazarus. And here in verse 21, Martha says to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And, you know, sometimes in life we say, but listen, Gilly, if you just came to help me, man, I wouldn't have hurt my back trying to do something on my own. I needed someone strong. And it's almost as if Martha is saying here, Lord Jesus, where were you? Why weren't you here? If you were here, my brother wouldn't have died. But in verse 22, but even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give to you. It's almost towards the end of Mary, Mary and Martha. Martha has already seen some of the miracles Jesus has done. And here we can see the faith in her heart. And she says, but God of Lord Jesus, whatever you do, whatever you ask of the Father, I believe that it will happen. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that you will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. But she's not understanding Jesus clearly. She's misinterpreting what is happening here. Martha says to him, I know that you will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Now this is the fifth I am statement of Jesus. Jesus was saying, okay, Donnie, you can go to that very bad attempt of me to that photograph. It needs a bit of love and copy and pasting. It's just me and my iPhone trying to help you a little bit. But there were the seven I am statements of Jesus. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. One of my favorites. I am the true vine. Now, that's probably seven sermons, or at least one sermon, that we can just preach on the I am statements of where Jesus is saying, listen, I am this. Okay? I am the true vine. I am the way and the truth and the life. And here, Jesus uses the fifth one when he says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. It's nothing else. It's no other formula. There's no other way. There's not a physical door, anything. It's me. It's Jesus. Okay? Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And then Jesus asks her an important question. Do you believe this? Now, I believe there's a lot of, especially over this time in Easter, we talk about Jesus. We talk about the cross. We talk about the resurrection. Later on, Jesus' ascension. And later on, Jesus coming back. And there's a lot of people that will say, sounds good, but I don't know. It's just too much. He died on a cross and he rose again. You know, if we could just say this morning that 7-8 billion people, how many people are there? I don't know. I think no one knows. How can we just know? But nevertheless, he asked this important question to Martha. Do you believe this? And here Martha comes and she fulfills, basically, when Jesus went out and he preached the gospel call, repent and turn from your sin, believe. And here she answers almost the textbook answer to Jesus' question when he says to her, do you believe this? She says in verse 27, she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God who is coming into the world. Another sermon probably on its own. Just her answer, her revelation, what her heart and her eyes, her spirit man could see at that moment. A lot of truth. So Jesus, just before this, was saying, even if you die, you will live. Our flesh will die. All of us will die in that sense. But when once we came to Christ and we know Jesus, then you will live forever. Can we stand there for a moment? Live forever. The moment we start to talk about big things and eternal things, I just have to walk away and say, guys, I can't explain it to you. Can anyone? What do I know about eternity? What do I know about Christ, the sent one, that is That was the light, and I'm just going to read it to you now in John chapter 1. But here, I just actually want to encourage you to go and read this story at home a few times, just because of the value. I mean, we can never go and say this. I usually tease, and there's a reason why I say my favorite 500 scriptures. They change all the time. But it's just because you can't have, maybe you have a few scriptures that you really love, that really minister to your heart. Maybe scripture that God gave to you in a specific season in your life. But I've been just working through John lately, and man, I just love John's gospel. And I just love this question that Jesus asked, do you believe this? How much doubt is still in our lives? What do we believe and what do we battle to believe? What can we say for a fact with a clear conscience? I completely believe everything in here or in my life or the promises that God gave me, the word that He's spoken to me. And where do I doubt still? Martha came here, as I said, almost with a textbook, Bible school year 15, okay? Not year 2 or 3. One of you is doing Bible school 1. This is the textbook answer. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Now, just here in the beginning of the gospel according to John, John chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, I want to read it to you. In the beginning, the Word already existed. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God. The Word refers to Jesus. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him. Important to say amen. No other way things came into existence. It came through God who created it through Jesus Christ. And nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created. And His life brought light to everyone. And then later on in verse 12, almost as Martha believed here that He's the sent one, that He's the Son of God, everything, almost as I said, that He's Lord. And here in verse 12 of John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, but to all who believed Him and accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God. To all who believed and accepted Him. And that's the church. The church consists of all believers. Everyone who said, Lord, I can't live in my own strength. I can't save myself. I need you. But I need to be in right standing with the Father. And because of the light of Jesus Christ, He was the gospel. He is the word. He is the life. And once we say, yes, Lord, I bow my knee. I acknowledge that. Something happened in our hearts. Now, into this amazing place, Jesus continues a bit later in John chapter 15, where we see in John chapter 13 to 17, it's the farewell discourse, just before He was crucified. And you know, many times I'm one of those people, I don't know, sometimes my wife loves me for this, and sometimes I think she hates me for this. I've got this thing that before I leave home at night, I say, remember to lock the doors, to put on the lights, to switch off the geyser, to feed the children, to feed the dog, and to lock the door, and. Now, I'm not mad. It's just, who of you are like that? Oh, hallelujah. It's not just me. Okay? And some of us aren't like that, but some of us are. And sometimes we irritate each other a little bit, but it's also a place where we help each other, especially in marriage, where we are different. But you know, what's the maths of marriage? 1 + 1 = 1 or 2?
1.
Ha, really, I like that. 1 + 1 = 1. I didn't marry you, but someone did a good job. Okay? Because we are a team. We work together. And just as it's my heart of a father and maybe a bit of being pastoral, I want to say to my wife, and these days I'm saying to one of my sons, remember to say to mom, lock the doors, switch off the lights, and do the geyser, and one of that. For some of us, it just comes a bit more natural. But here, just before Jesus was leaving, before Jesus were being crucified, He's having a conversation. Theologians call it the farewell discourse, okay? from verse 13 to 17. And it's in a sense Jesus speaking to his disciples and say, guys, I'm going to die. This is what's going to happen. But I've got this last opportunity, this last time where I want to say to you, switch on the lights, lock the doors. This is what you need to do. This is the heart. Jesus said, I'm only going to say to you what I heard from the Father. So it's Father God through Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples. And he's saying a lot. Verse 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. There's a lot of theology in there, Mark. It's a lot of stuff. Jesus saying, don't worry. A few weeks I preach on that as well, where Jesus says, listen, I'm going to leave you, but I'm going to send you the Helper. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. You're going to be okay. He's going to remind you, etc. And here, right in the middle of this farewell discourse, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and his future church, to the people who would become the apostles, who went out to preach the good news and basically plant the church. There we see in Acts, we see here in John chapter 15, Jesus, and remember, I'm narrow-minded, and my revelation is so small when we talk about eternal things. Jesus, who is the Word. So everything that Jesus says is of great and eternal value because he heard it from the Father. Some Bible translations has got Jesus' words written in red, and it just helps us to see what Jesus actually said. Now, I just know that when Jesus says something, I want to listen. I want to pay attention, and I want to, an Afrikaans, ek wil my ore spits. I don't know how you spits your ore in English. Who can help me? Easter Bunny, you do that. Okay, so you can, I'm just want to work a little bit through that, and I believe it's something that God is just, Jesus just want to encourage us as his church. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Okay, so there's the vine dresser, okay, and then there's the branches and there's the fruit. And Jesus, just before he's leaving, he's talking to his future church, he's talking to his disciples, and he says to them, I am the true vine, okay? I am. It's the seventh and the last I am statement of Jesus. Go to your Bible, your study Bible, and maybe go and study. Go and read those seven I am statements that Jesus, where he said, I am the way and the truth, I am the good shepherd, etc. And here Jesus comes and he says, I am the vine, okay? And I'm going to just work a little bit through that. I am the true vine. Do you think there's unhealthy lies that we can be planted into, believing false things in this world today? Man, we had Derek and Beryl Puffett last week, and they ministered just once again. And we know about confusion and fear and control. And there's so many things in this world that if you are planted into that vine, the fruits will be bad. It's there to devastate our lives, to kill us in a sense. But here Jesus comes and he says, I am the true vine. And my Father is the een met die snoeisker. He is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Who does it? Do you take yourself away? Do Jesus cut you off? Or does the Father do it? Jesus says, he takes it away. And then he says, and every branch that does bear fruit, which is a good, positive thing, okay? The branch is into the vine, and the vine is Jesus, so there will be good fruit. But here he comes and he says, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it even might bear more fruit. Okay? So what is the heart of the Father through Jesus for us? To cut us and to hurt us? Or to help us as the church, his chosen people, okay, to bear more fruit? Now, just a word of encouragement, and I'm not going to go too deep into that because it's not the aim of the sermon. But many times when we go through tough times,
difficult seasons, dry seasons, hard times, we want to, ons wil die duivel soek. Where's the enemy now? Okay, why is my life difficult? I don't want to ask you to raise your hand if you go maybe through a tough time or you had gone through a tough time. But God is, He loves us so much that He will prune us. And in that pruning process, nou Gilip, kom ons praat bietjie. Sê boetie en sussie hier voor in die kerk is, is hom special, né? And God loves us so much that He will prune us to build what? Our character. To be more godly, to be more Christ-like, but also to have fruit. And we're going to talk a lot about fruit this morning. Then in verse 3, he says, I'm going to skip that, I'm just going to read it quickly, but I'm not going to refer too much to that. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken. And then in verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, sometimes to some of us, it might sound a bit like a back and forth and a bit of a riddle. And if Jesus is, in a sense, herhaal himself, okay, repeating himself. But the important part is that Jesus says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself. How many times do we try and do things in our own strength? I've told the story, and I'm not going to say too much about it, but many moons ago when I met that beautiful wife of mine, you know, I had this thing, and I sat in a sermon that night, and I had this little book, and I wrote there, because just in my own life, I came to a place of saying, oh, God, everything I'm trying to do doesn't work out. So I wrote, praise God, I don't have a plan. Honest thing, conviction of the Holy Spirit. And it was, in a sense, who remember the days before cell phones? Huh? Okay, yeah, no, it must be more of you. Okay, there was a time before Wi-Fi and cell phones. But, so you didn't just send the number. You took a pen and a book, and you wrote something down. And ek wou 'n nommer gehad het, okay? And she was very willing to give it to me. You know? And I opened my little book to give it to her, to write down a number, and guess where I open it? Praise God, I don't have a plan. And I almost thought I'm going to run away, because this is probably the worst place, you know, to say to a girl that you're interested in, to, I guess, planless, I'm useless, I don't know what. But it was a place of here, where Jesus said we should abide in Him, because if we don't abide in Him, whatever fruits we're trying to cultivate in this life, whatever we are trying to do in our own lives, in our marriages, in our church, in our workplace, it will just be temporary. It will be stuff that will grow and puff up or whatever, and it will come to nothing. But there's a deeper place where Jesus is saying, before He's going to give His life and be crucified, He says, if you want to bear fruits, abide in me, remain in me. Now, what does abide in me refers to? It means to continue in a daily, personal relationship with Jesus. Okay? Now, John makes it probably the clearest of all the gospel writers. In John chapter 3, verse 3, he talks to Nicodemus about the new birth. And he says, listen, there's a place where God wants to make you new. Okay? He explains salvation. And when he talks about it, we talk about a personal relationship. Okay? Abiding isn't just something that happens there somewhere. The six I am, where Jesus say, ek is die deur, I am the way. There's only one way to God. There's only one way to salvation, not in Buddha or in anything else in this world, through Jesus Christ. That's where we are reconciled with the Father. That's the message of the cross that is so central in this time of Easter, where we talk about Jesus being crucified, giving His life, etc. So when we talk about a daily personal relationship, it doesn't mean owning a Bible there on a shelf or having gone to a small group or a prayer meeting somewhere in your life. Abiding means daily personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Is that possible? Is it just something out there, theoretical, academic, or is it something personal we can experience? And that personal relationship is characterized by trust, by trusting in God for our safety, for our provision. Early morning, I was really, really concerned. I'm now 17 years in Shofar. We've sent out a lot of mission teams, China, every persecuted country you can think of, okay? And not one person has been lost. Not one life that I know of, that I know for a fact. Not one person has been killed on missions. That's a miracle. A lot of us had bad tummies in Nepal or in India. The food sometimes, it's not, it's tough. But, you know, but there's a place where Jesus talks and he says, encourages us to abide in him, where we trust him and pray and obedience and joy in him and obviously worship. That is what a personal relationship referred to. Not owning a Bible, not being a member of the church on paper somewhere, but a personal place. A personal place of saying, the Lord said to me this morning. And that is why this morning, early this morning, I was honestly concerned when the pastor of those people said, they are in Sri Lanka and there's a few bombs exactly in the town where they were supposed to minister that went off. And I think, oh, well, might that be the first casualty? Might that be our people? And obviously, quickly the word went out and we prayed. And obviously, God's hand was with those people. All the glory to him, okay, for protecting him. But that's also something for us. Other translations says, remain in me and I will remain in you. Okay, there's a promise, but there's almost the if as well. If we abide in him, he will remain in us. When we walk away from him, yeah, he doesn't just turn his back on us, but the relationship is hurt a bit. It takes a few shots, if I can put it like that. So the top priority for us right now as the church, there's a lot of things that we can talk about, but I believe that just one thing that God is just saying to us, to abide in Christ, must be our most important thing. Daily, devotionally, to abide in Christ. Okay? Because this is not what I'm saying. This is what Jesus said to his disciples. This is what he said to us, to we, the church, that we should abide in him. And then he continues and he says, as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself. Now we know that oranges or any fruit you can think of, they just don't hang there in the air. There's a branch, and then there's the tree. There's the vine that it's plucked into, that it's part, where it gets its substance, its fruit, its food from. And Jesus said, if you try to bear fruit, if you try and be a good person, if you try and do whatever I called you to do without abiding in me, it's not going to work. And we all know that when we don't spend that time with God or Christ and we don't abide, I get a bit frustrated. I get irritated. I get a bit of a not such a nice person because I know something is wrong. I know something is wrong in my life. So there's an important thing that we need to hear and to say. Those missionaries that went out to Sri Lanka to serve God and to call upon their lives, they went. And there's an important command to the church to go. But here Jesus is also saying to us, stay, abide, and remain in Christ daily, 24/7, 365. And that's a word for us. Because many times, and I know in my own life, I know and I know and I know that if I don't have my quiet time early in the day, then it's another phone call and another email and another this and another day. And then it's 10 o'clock and it's coffee time and then Raleen phones and then Marika phones and then Raleen phones again and then iPhone. And then, oh boy, I must get the kids from school and I just start to feel a little bit like that. And it's not that I want to turn my back on Christ, but I know if I need to abide, I need to start early in the day. I need to be at that place to connect it with our Lord. We continue to verse 5. Jesus, here he talks and he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, Because when we get born again, you know, something eternal happens in our hearts. The Holy Spirit starts to dwell in. We become a temple, all of that. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, this, it's almost the same as the previous part. But we need to know, what is what does the fruit of a dead branch look like? There's no fruit. Okay? So, there's a serious warning to anyone who's got ears to hear in verse 6, where Jesus says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. Now, this is not the fundamentalist weird church saying that. It's Jesus Christ. Why? Does he want people to die or to punish or anything like that? No. John 3:16 is his heart, okay? God loves us. He chose us. He wants us to bear fruit. There's an obligation to us as the church and Christians to bear much fruit. And we will hear it now just from the Father's heart. We know Paul writes about this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he pre-planned or predestined that we or prepared in advance for us to do. Paul says the same thing here that Jesus is saying. Listen, if you're a dead branch, there will be no fruits. There will be no good, no fruits. Instead, Jesus comes and he says, all these dead branches are gathered together and they are thrown into the fire. But that's not the Father's heart. It's just something that Jesus warns us about in a sense. Okay? His heart is for us to bear good fruit. And we see that in verse 7. If means it's not a given, it's a if. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now, if you're visiting, if you're here for the first time, maybe we had a 5-week sermon series the previous almost 5 weeks. But two weeks ago from the 5 weeks. And we talk a lot about prayer. But here Jesus is saying, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Because we are transformed into the image of Christ and our hearts and our minds and our will are the same as Christ's or the Father's and the Holy Spirit help us. So I'm not going to talk too much about prayer. There was, a few solid sermons preach on prayer, so you are welcome to listen to this. But here in verse 8 is the important part. And Jesus says, By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. So what does God want from us? Does he want to gather us and to throw us into the fire? No, I'm not preaching here with a stick in the hand and trying to threaten you or trying to manipulate you to do something. Okay, Jesus is saying it brings glory to God when we, the church, his people, is bearing much fruit, good fruit. Those branches that you can see, it's so heavy, it almost seems it's going to break. And those branches are abiding. That's a tree who gets a lot of that fruit is because there's good stuff, good nourishment in the soil. For the roots to take up and go to take it to the vine. And that's when we can have sweet fruits, okay? Beautiful things, beautiful fruits that will bring glory to God's name. So church, there isn't just a place where we bring glory to God by praising and worshiping him. The word says here, we bring glory to his name, we bring glory to God the Father if we bear much fruit. But that fruit isn't going to happen if there's not praise and worship, devotion, scripture reading, fellowship, prayer in our lives, if we don't abide in him. Now, the beautiful thing is, when I read John chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, about the word that was, that the word that was created, that the word which is Jesus, who's saying, listen, I'm giving you the right to become children, that all powerful, ruling Jesus Christ that Mark spoke about this morning. Here Jesus is saying we should abide in him. Not just in something shallow, something cheap, something worldly, but in that eternal Jesus Christ. that gave his life for us. John chapter 15, verse 16, now I'm ending off this part here. Here, Jesus is saying, almost just a little bit before he goes on, he says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit." Keep it in your heart. Keep it in our hearts. May that be something for us as the church. Jesus says, listen, you are here just for 50 years or 80 years in this life. I chose you. I chose you before the foundations of the world. I prepared, planned, and good works for you to walk in. You did not choose me, but I chose you and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruits. And just this morning, I can just think of that mission team that went to Sri Lanka. It's not the church paying for them. It comes from their own pockets. And say, God, we will serve. We will go. Now, please, don't feel convicted or guilty if you haven't been to Sri Lanka or any other persecuted place in the world. It's not wrong in a sense. But there's a place for us to bear fruit, to abide in Jesus and bear much fruit. Because we are chosen and appointed that we should go and bear fruits. And especially this time when we talk about the cross and about Jesus dying here over the bigger part of Easter, about Jesus dying, about the resurrection, the ascension, and Jesus promising and saying, I'm coming back for you because I love you, because I will keep my word. Jesus will not change his plan. He will not fail us. He will come back for us. C.S. Lewis has got a quote from Mere Christianity, and I want to read it to you. I quote from Mere Christianity from C.S. Lewis, and he says, if you read history, you will find, it will be up there as well, yeah. If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did most for the present world were precisely those who thought most of the next eternity. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this, that the fruits go down. The more we think about eternity, the more we think about the God and the gospel and bringing people into the kingdom of going and spreading the good news, the heart of Paul, the heart of Acts, the heart of God, the gospel, the heart of the work of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Okay? The more we are focused on that, the more we abide in Christ, the more He will send us. The more we will know that we are chosen and appointed to bear good fruits. And that those fruits are the fruits of the Spirit. Fruits of the Spirit in general, not just Galatians 5, fruit of the Spirit. Okay? And that is what we should have in our hearts. So C.S. Lewis is saying, the more we think about the here and the now, the more we just focus on that. The more we think of eternity in heaven, you know, we want to go like, be like Reinhard Bonnke, who says we're going to plunder hell and populate heaven. Okay? Because that's the call of the church, to say this risen Christ, okay? It's Him that we want to talk about. It's Him that I cannot keep quiet about. It's Him that no matter what persecution comes our way, we will let our lights shine. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus loved us and died for us. He invited us to live for Him forever. Jesus made that first decision. Okay, there would have been no decision making, no fruit bearing on our behalf if He didn't start it. Jesus made the first choice to love us and to die for us and to invite us to live with Him forever. We must make the next choice to accept or reject His offer. And now I'm talking about the bigger population, the bigger part of humanity. And man, there's a battle out there. Because we can sit here, and I promise you, maybe I can ask you, has anyone thought this morning of being shot or a bomb going off in our church or anything like that? Anyone? No one. Because it's not in our context. There is persecution. Sometimes, you know, we get baptized when we are older and people think we are weird, or we go to a church with a name like Shofar and we think like, Shofar, what is Shofar? And we think we are persecuted. But that's not persecution, okay? But there's an important choice for each and every person that hears the gospel, and that's to respond in faith when we are converted to Christ and to say, just as Martha, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, the sent one, the Holy One, and I believe you can do it. Amen. Without Jesus' choice, there wouldn't have been any choice for us. If what happened over this Easter, the crucifixion, the resurrection on Easter Monday, all of that, if that doesn't exist, we could have talked about fruit and be going and stuff, nothing would have happened. Just as I said 3 weeks ago, I think, if Jesus was still here, then the Spirit wouldn't have come. But Jesus said, it's to your benefit. If I go away, then the Spirit will come and a new part of history will start. I just want to see. I don't really want to preach 2 hours. Okay. So, what choices do we have today? What choices do we have? We live in a world with, now don't hear me wrong, with human rights and human rights agendas. And I don't say anyone should be abused or anything like that. But there's a lot about me and my rights and what I can do. And don't tell me. But we need to discern what is of God and what is the world. What is the world saying to us? Secular humanism and a lot of those things says you've got the right to choose if you want to be male or female. A lot of challenges, a lot of nonsense, which is not the truth. We've got a choice about our abiding. Is our abiding in Christ, is it a constant given? Or is it something where you can choose how much you abide? Quiet time, worship time, is it just a robot thing you do? Or is it something where you need your own discipline and say, God, I want to do it. God, I want to do it. I love to do it. The amount of fruit we bear, is it a given? Gilly, you've got 10 fruits. Carl, you've got 5. Denise, 20. Okay. Saki, 25. Okay. There's no given. The amount of fruits we bear will be in terms of the abiding in Christ. And Jesus said later on, in just when this part is finished, he talks about the world that will hate you. The world that will hate you, okay, because it hated Jesus first. Because, okay, so that's why I believe he's also saying, abide in me. That's a good place to be. That's a safe and a healthy place to be. On the day after the night in which Jesus spoke these words to the 11 and to us, he laid himself down on the cross and bought us with his blood. We are now his fruit and his fruit bearers. The only fruit that will ever endure to eternal life is fruits that grow out of the cross. Okay? There's no place in this natural where we can try and be good people. I guess we've all tried that. Just to come to a place like I have 2005 when I wrote there and say, praise God, I don't have a plan. Because my plans doesn't work. When I try to do this or I try to do that, it just falls apart. And God allows that because he wants us to come to a place where we say, Lord, your kingdom come and your will be done. Where I surrender my own. And that's tough. That is challenging. But it's important for us. And just as Martha said here in verse 25, when Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And I believe I'm speaking to the church and the ushers. You can start to slowly hand out the communion first. I will appreciate that. If you just, we're going to have communion together now. So, and yes, important, as I said, when do you believe this? When Jesus says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Whoever dies in terms of giving over his life, whoever is born again, he or she will live forever. But that's also a message that we should take out. That we can be 300 and 500 people in church. Why? Because God said we should go and bear fruit. And part of our fruit bearing is the good news. To go out to the nations. To go out to Samaria and Judea and to the ends of the world. But here this morning, I believe it's so important. And as I hand out, you can just listen for a last moment here. that it's so important that we live from a place where we can say we must taste death before Jesus, we may taste death before Jesus returns. But one thing is for certain, our coffins will not stay closed. Just as on Easter morning, the grave could not hold Jesus. At the trumpet's call of the last day, neither will the grave be able to hold the remains of those who are in Christ, who have been abiding in Christ. Okay? And that's part of the good news. That's part of what we live and what we preach with joy in our hearts. Okay? That we know that even if we die, we will live forever. Okay? That our spirit man will live. If that is made new and we are born again, that we will live forever. And as I said, I think I said it early on this morning, there's just something in my heart that I just want to say, Jesus Christ, you are Lord. You aren't just my Savior, but you are Lord of my life. It's important that when we come to Christ and we are born again, we know Jesus as Lord. But that we know Him as Savior. But that we can also go and say, Lord, Jesus, I know You as Lord of my life. Where it's Your will, where I can bow my knee and say, Your kingdom come and Your will be done. As the ushers are handing out, I'm just going to read from Matthew 26, verse 26, about the last supper or the last meal. And then I'm going to end off, and there's a song that I want us, it's going to be up there. We're going to all stand together, and we're going to sing it twice. But I specifically want you, and I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit will minister to our hearts. I'm not going to have a specific altar call or anything this morning. Maybe afterwards, if you feel you need prayer, we might make something. But I want us to stand, and I want us to worship that song. And I specifically want you to pay attention to the words. I don't want you to say anything that's not from your own place of conviction. But this is a special time of the year, and I believe just as Jesus said to Mary, to Martha, do you believe? Do you believe this? What do you battle to believe? What are you afraid of this morning? What are you scared of this morning? What are you fearing for this morning? That we can bring it to Christ. That we can say, Jesus Christ, you are Lord of my life. Because the more we try and put these things, the burdens on our own shoulders, the more it doesn't work. The more it kills us. But the more we can say, Lord, I just give over. I just die. You become Lord of my life. Then there's new power for us. I want to read to us, as they are almost finished handing out, Matthew 26, verse 26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to His disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. So I just want you to hold for a moment till we worship. Then you can use the communion in your own time. Jesus, and He said to His disciples, take and eat. This is my body. Then He took a cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And then they worship together. Okay? So I'm going to pray for us. And as the ushers are almost finished, I think we should stand. If it's okay with you, we should all, you can all stand right now. And as I said, we're going to see the music will play that song. We will do it twice. It's about 10 minutes. And here I'm going to leave off. I'm going to say amen. And I'm just going to trust the Holy Spirit to minister to our hearts this morning. You can use the communion in your own time just now after I prayed for that. And I want you to maybe go home and to say, Lord, what is my choices that I have concerning bearing fruit, concerning abiding in You, trusting in You? Okay? Maybe go and read that part again. Study it a little bit. And I believe it's such a special time for us as the church to reach out and to love and to go, but also to remain and to stay and to abide. Lord Jesus, we exalt your name this morning as the living Lord. That scripture says that you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. That death couldn't hold you. That you rose again, Lord Jesus. That you ascended into heaven. And that you promised that you will come back for us, Lord. And Father, your time isn't our time, Lord. And Father, you know the time, the day and the hour when you will come back, Lord. And that no coffin of a born-again believer will stay closed, Lord. That we can have our hope in Jesus Christ, Lord. That even if we die in this life, in this flesh, Lord, that you will raise us again, Lord. And that in eternity, we can spend time with you. Before we take the bread and the wine, Lord Jesus, we want to think of that time, that moment, that hour, Lord. Here, waar die mense u gespot het, Here. Lord, where your body was broken. Lord, where you died as a thief. With the thieves, Lord. With robbers. But you were the King, Lord. Where you were crucified. And where you were the perfect offering. The spotless Lamb. We worship you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that we've got a choice today because of the choice that you have made. That you obeyed the Father. Here, that you in a crib geboren was. That you were the I Ams, the Good Shepherd. That you are the vine. That you are the way and the truth and the life. That you are the door, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your obedience. And Father, we just want to be obedient to your commandments. And Father, we want to take that calling upon us to bear good fruits. Father, I pray for each and every one of us to be strengthened. Holy Spirit, that you will work powerfully through our lives, that we will allow that we will abide in you daily, that we will remain in you, and that we will say with Martha that we believe. Hallelujah and amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.